From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on December the 9th, 2024, here in South Carolina Public Radio's studios in Columbia. Now, we have a programming note. Don't skip ahead. You have to hear this part. We have our next live lead taping on January 9th in the new year of 2025. Be there or be square. We'll also be streaming that on YouTube if you cannot make it. We're not going to take it personally, but we're going to take it personally. But we would love to see and hear you. That's going to be our legislative preview episode. And we're hoping to have a big name guest. It's going to be a free event. We're going to have registration soon, but I want this on your calendar now. January 9th, SCETV Studios here in Columbia. We'll see you then. On this episode of The Lead, we hear from Senate Majority Leader Shane Massey on the upcoming session. There were two prominent South Carolinians who were weighing in on transgender issues in Washington last week. And we hear about how President-elect Donald Trump's proposed tariffs may affect South Carolina and much more. There's much more, in fact. In fact, we want to hear from you, 803-563-7169. Tell us about what you're up to these days. The year is winding down. Are you making some resolutions? We need to know what to prepare for. We got to make our hot or not list for 2025. Would love your insights here. 803-563-7169. Looking at this week in the State House, lawmakers are still out until January 14th, but there are a few meetings that we'll be watching, including a joint insurance study committee.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. They're talking about all the different things like liquor liability, so we'll be watching that, as well as a Senate Education Subcommittee hearing on school vouchers, which will be a top issue in next year's session. So both of those meetings are taking place December 10th, Tuesday at 10 a.m. We'll have a little bit of that for you in Saturday's pod. Up in Congress, they remain in session this week as Congress heads toward a December 20th funding deadline. We love these little deadlines that they do for themselves. We'll see if the government shuts down, but it's looking like it's going to stay open. Probably pass a continuing resolution. That's what they do. On the economic front, we get November inflation numbers on Wednesday, the same day as the University of South Carolina's 2025 Economic Outlook Conference. We'll be bringing you plenty of those findings throughout the month of December, so stay tuned. Grab a couple of econ pods for you.
Econ pod.
Shut down.
Does not compute.
Econ pod, please.
Malfunction.
Where's my producer? Shut him down.
Econ pod.
Guys, this is the You Gotta Pledge. 800-256-8535. We're going to be on the air Thursday evening. Guys, tune in. Little plug there. This is, what are those called? Dynamic ad insertions. This is a dynamic ad insertion. We're going to be on air during All Things Considered Thursday evening. Listen, pledge, give. We love you. Moving on to the podcast. Lawmakers were in Columbia briefly last week, as you know, because they're gearing up for the start of the first year of the two-year legislative session. House and Senate lawmakers were getting sworn in, picking new seats, receiving committee assignments, and getting to know the 19 House and 13 Senate freshmen that are part of the 170-member General Assembly. There's no hazing that I know of. Now, we will be talking about legislative and budget priorities for a good bit of the next month or so, as that is where this conversation is at this point. It's all preview. It's all looking ahead. So to do that, I want to keep this conversation going that reporters had with Senate Republican leader Shane Massey of Edgefield. You're going to be hearing from a lot of him this session because he is the Senate leader of the Republicans. And as you know, they got a supermajority with 34 out of the 46 members there. So Massey spoke with reporters following session on Wednesday, and he was asked about transgender issues, making big changes thanks to that supermajority, and what he thinks could happen next with tax reform. Take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some brief conversation with Senator Peeler about that. I mean, he's certainly going to take the lead on the Senate side when it comes to tax relief issues. But I do think that the Speaker is right. We can go much lower than where we are. You just look around at our neighbors. And also, you know, we had this big push, just a few years ago that we needed to lower our rate because we were the highest in the Southeast. The problem is that we're still the highest in the Southeast, even with those new rates. So I think we need to look at that. Frankly, I think we need to look at at everything comprehensively. And I know that makes it more difficult, but the reality is our sales taxes in many places are higher than they are anywhere else in the country. If you go out to eat here in Columbia, you're going to pay higher sales tax than what you'd pay in Los Angeles or Chicago. And then we've also got issues with property taxes. So I think we need to look at it holistically, but we certainly are out of line on the income tax. Look, as I've told people, if South Carolina is going to send us 34 senators, I think they expect us to use 34 senators. And there are things, look, there are things that we were able to do in the last 4 years that we never would have been able to do beforehand because of the numbers that we had. I think that's especially the case now. So hopefully we will take on some of those bigger, more difficult issues. Fiscal issues are hard. And there are certainly consequences no matter what you do there. So you want to make sure you get that right as well. But that energy, I mean, there are some really big issues that affect the future of the state that we need to deal with that we probably could not have dealt with, but we may have the opportunity to deal with that now.
We know, like, Congress, now they have a trifecta. They've gotten really into the transgender bathroom debates. We've had the transgender surgery debates, and I know that that's already led to some reductions in care for adult patients at MUSC. Was wondering if we're going to continue to take up that issue this session or if we see that as finished at this point.
Well, I've told you what our initial priorities are. We've not had any conversation about doing that. In fact, there was an oral argument in the U.S. Supreme Court today. So I think we need to wait to see what the court does with legislation that is similar from Tennessee. It's similar to what we passed dealing with minors. So let's see what the Supreme Court says, and then we can go from there. At this point, I don't know of anything that we're talking about doing on that. But, you know, depending on what the U.S. Supreme Court does, that may change. But I also don't expect that the court's going to rule before June. So I don't foresee anything happening this session.
So would that include waiting on, say, the proviso that's in the budget dealing with bathrooms? Would that be waiting on to see what the Supreme Court says on this?
Well, I mean, that proviso has been in there for a few years. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that during the budget debate. But I haven't even had a chance to listen to the oral arguments today. But I'm interested to see if any of the justices were tipping their hands on how they may go. And if they are tipping their hands, then maybe that does lead to some things. But I haven't heard any conversation yet about doing anything differently than what we've already done. That's certainly not part of our priorities for the first half of session. If something along that changes, I'm sure we'll talk about it. Y'all like talking about that. At this point, I don't anticipate anything.
That was Senate Majority Leader Shane Massey there. Speaking of transgender issues, you heard him mention what the Supreme Court may do in regard to that case out of Tennessee that the court heard last Wednesday on a law that bans the use of puberty blockers and hormone therapy for transgender teens. That hearing was one that many folks were watching closely, as there are similar laws in 23 other states like ours. The forthcoming ruling, expected toward the end of the term in the spring, could have ramifications for South Carolina, which passed a ban on gender-affirming care for transgender youth back in May. Now, two expected Republican gubernatorial candidates, we're talking about 2026 watch here, folks. I know 2025 hasn't started yet. We're on 2026 watch. We have to do this. We got to keep it fresh for you.
2026 watch.
I'm telling you, sorry, we're going to do it. That's what it is. You're going to know it. We're keeping you up to date. That's the inaugural 2026 watch. Many more to come. But Attorney General Alan Wilson and First District Congresswoman Nancy Mace were in D.C. last week fighting against transgender rights in the name of safety for women and children. Wilson stood outside the U.S. Supreme Court in solidarity with other attorneys general and Tennessee AG Jonathan Scrimmitti, who was named in the case that was brought by the Biden administration before the Supreme Court. But here's AG Wilson.
As the Attorney General of the state of South Carolina, we have a similarly situated bill. And what is at stake right now is, can states pass reasonable laws that protect and promote the health and welfare of children? We pass laws that place reasonable restrictions on whether parents can put their children in the front of a car. We pass laws that put restrictions on whether or not a child can buy a tobacco product or an alcohol product or go into an adult entertainment facility. We do this already as states. It is inherent in states' police power to protect laws or to promote laws and in place laws that protect the health and welfare of our children. We do it already. What concerns me is that you have dueling sciences. You have people on both sides debating the medical nature of transgender. You're having children as young as 6, 7, 8 years old trying to commit or engage in an irreversible medical procedure And we have people saying that the state should not be able to debate those issues, should not be able to weigh those issues.
Supreme Court makes a great backdrop there for a potential campaign ad one day, just like the southern border did when he was there in September. Think about it. 2026, watch.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm very sure. Meanwhile, Mace's congressional staff was emailing other Hill staffers for a bullhorn to borrow for their boss, who later used it to read the Miranda rights outside of a police precinct where transgender rights protesters were being housed after they were arrested for a bathroom sit-in in the Cannon House office building. Now, Mace posted a video of this in which she used a slur for transgender people, so we're not going to play that video, but this was her on News Nation on November 29th talking about her reasoning behind her push against transgender access.
Look, I am a rape survivor. I'm a survivor of sexual violence and abuse, and I know how vulnerable women and girls are in private spaces. And the question at the end of the day is, do women have rights or not? I mean, this question must be answered. And it doesn't end on Capitol Hill. This stuff is going on all across the country. I'm going to file multiple bills on measures like this because I'm going to fight to protect women and girls. Like, this is not okay. And I'm someone who's very socially sensible, but at some point, we have to draw a line with this insanity, and this is a big, fat red line for me.
This seemingly never-ending mission was spurred by the election of the House's first open transgender woman, Sarah McBride of Delaware. House Speaker Mike Johnson imposed a rule requiring individuals on House grounds use the bathroom that corresponds to the gender they were assigned at birth. However, Mace wants legislation to move, which won't because the chamber is in its lame duck session, so it's really just a lot of bluster right now. And nevertheless, Mace has dedicated hundreds of posts, comments, videos, and media appearances on the matter, which applies to an incredibly small number of individuals who identify as transgender. Mace was also public last week about alleged domestic abuse she is facing, and in a video claimed that she had moved for a fourth time so her abuser can't find her. Also on Twitter, Mace tweeted Monday that, quote, in regards to state law in South Carolina, the legislature should pass a bill to make voyeurism and peeping Tom first offenses a felony, increase the fines and jail time. Law enforcement should also be required to notify the victim or victims within 30 days or less. That's my two cents, but I'm not governor and don't serve in the legislature, but would fully support this measure, quote. Key phrase, but I'm not governor.
2026 watch.
But even if you were governor, to anyone who wants to be governor, you can't really pass that many laws, guys. You can set the priorities, you can do your best, you can use the bully pulpit, you can use a bullhorn, but you really got to work with the legislature to get that stuff done. So 2026 watch wrapping up, and someone else will be watching over the coming months just to, you know, keep with the watch is Lieutenant Governor Pam Evatt. Now, like I said, we'll be attending the University of South Carolina 2025 Economic Outlook Conference this week, and we'll hear from research economist Dr. Joey Von Nessen about all of that, one of our favorite friends of the pod here. Now, tariffs proposed by President-elect Donald Trump will undoubtedly be a focus of the conference, as our state is also heavily invested in global trade. The Russ McKinney did this deep dive on tariffs and the impacts they could have on our state.
President-elect Trump has vowed that on his first day in office next month, he'll impose heavy tariffs targeting the United States' three largest trading partners, Canada, Mexico, and China. Trade tariffs were the hallmark of then-candidate Trump's economic plan to ramp up American manufacturing and to reduce inflation.
To me, the most beautiful word in the dictionary is tariff, and it's my favorite word.
Dr. Joseph Von Nessen, research economist at USC's Moore School of Business, says that Trump views tariffs as a strategy to help communities in this country that have struggled over the last 10 to 20 years, having seen manufacturing jobs relocate overseas.
He is looking at ways to potentially bring some of those jobs back and to help revitalize some of these communities. And depending on how the tariffs are implemented and what the specific tariffs are designed to do, it's possible to see more manufacturing investment in the United States.
Von Nessen says in understanding tariffs, first consider them as a tax that American businesses will have to pay on goods they import into this country. In South Carolina, giant companies such as automakers BMW and Volvo, and smaller ones like grocery stores, clothing stores, and companies that sell all types of consumer goods, rely on materials and goods they buy from overseas. To afford those increased costs tariffs could cause, they would be forced to pass along the increases to consumers in the form of higher prices. Many national economists say that could lead to inflation. South Carolina is a major exporter of products as well. cars, textiles, tires, and soybeans, for example, that are produced here and sold overseas. And according to Dr. Von Nessen, American exporters could be adversely affected by countries implementing retaliatory tariffs.
For example, if you're an automotive manufacturer, like in South Carolina, and a bulk of your sales goes to consumers overseas, then what type of adjustment would you have to look to make? Well, you might have to look at whether or not you can pivot your production to service the European market or perhaps the American market if we're seeing retaliatory tariffs from China, for example.
South Carolina's vibrant manufacturing sector relies heavily on components from overseas suppliers and could certainly feel the impact of tariffs. But so could hundreds of smaller companies that import products like toys, electronics, clothes, and furniture. Frank Knapp, president of the South Carolina Small Business Chamber of Commerce, says small businesses could have an even harder time turning profits if tariffs are imposed.
For small businesses, particularly hard. They are already competing against big businesses that have the advantage of buying goods in quantity and paying less for them and advantage of marketing. So what do small businesses have to do? Well, they have to raise their prices, but they may not be able to raise it to recoup all of that extra tax because they're in that competition.
While President-elect Trump touts tariffs as his key economic strategy, he also sees them as a tool to pressure foreign governments. He's proposed tariffs on Canada and Mexico in an effort to deal with migrants and drugs coming into the country. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham agrees with Trump on using tariffs as diplomatic weapons.
We will do to you what you do to us. If you have a tariff on our products, we're going to put tariffs on your products. How can you argue with that? Tariffs as a tool to get people to do better? Count me in.
Graham says tariffs can be used to, quote, create carrots for allies and sticks for bad guys. As president, Trump could unilaterally impose tariffs. The global economy now waits to see if he is threatening them as a negotiating tactic or instates them and sets in motion dramatic changes in world trade.
President-elect Trump had his first sit-down interview after his win with Meet the Press moderator Kristen Welker, where tariffs were a focus. This is just a brief little bow for this story about tariffs here.
Economists of all stripes say that ultimately consumers pay the price of tariffs.
I don't believe
it. Can you guarantee American families won't pay more?
I can't guarantee anything. I can't guarantee tomorrow. But I can say that if you look at my, just pre-COVID, we had the greatest economy in the history of our country. And I had a lot of tariffs on a lot of different countries, but in particular China. We took in hundreds of billions of dollars and we had no inflation. In fact, when I handed it over, they didn't have inflation for a year and a half. They went almost 2 years just based on what I had created. And then they created inflation with energy and with spending too much. So I think we will. I'm a big believer in tariffs. I think tariffs are the most beautiful word. I think they're beautiful. It's going to make us rich.
And we'll have more on the economy this week and later this month in all of our wonderful Econ Pods.
Econ Pod.
That's right. There you go, baby. Get back to work. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break. Very tiny break from the news. We're glad you're here. A.T. Shire, producer of The Lead Podcast, is here with us
I'm
as well.
Here. I feel like I've never left. It's a little Shining-y. It's a little Hotel California-y.
Kind of like the campaign trail, some would say.
Ooh, some might, yeah. It's very
some
much
might.
So. Hearing the 2026 watch. We're not even in 2025.
No, sir.
As a stand-in for the listener when Gavin's recording these things, I hated it. I won't lie.
He represents
it.
You, guys. Yeah, he's
I
here.
To. I come in as uninformed as possible, and Gavin informs me in
he
real time.
He is a blank canvas, and I paint.
Yes, it's true. Oh, with all the colors of
the wind.
That's where I was going. Thank you very much.
Can we play that clip? Can we play some Pocahontas really quick?
We will get sued. Disney, very litigious. Famously litigious.
They probably have AI bots just like ready to go at all times now.
They probably, just because they probably bought the rights to The Matrix and made the bots look like the kill bots from The Matrix.
People are going to love it.
They just love some tie-in IP for everything. Even their kill bots love brands.
It's a universe.
Yeah. Yeah, Gavin. So you're watching a show. Huh?
I'm on Netflix. I was watching a show on Netflix the other day.
Yeah, Gavin wants to talk about a show he's watching in lieu of me complaining about other brands.
We can definitely complain about all the brands.
So Gavin, you go. I think this is much healthier. For
I'm
the
just
world.
Not one. I don't know. I'm not one to like watch Netflix or like streaming. I mean, I do it every now and then. I get caught up, but I'm not like, I gotta see what's on.
I say more that you are a classics lover. You love the classics.
Yeah.
You'll go back and you'll watch a classic movie instead of a new show that's popping out of nowhere.
You really gotta drag me into it.
Correct. Yeah.
Someone kind of has to press play.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching Sabrina Carpenter's holiday special, which was kind of fun, but. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, if we're going to watch that.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I watched that first, 50 minutes, and I said, if we're going to watch this, then I get to watch what I want to watch, too. You know, the classic give and take.
Yes.
Give v. take, Supreme Court case.
It's classic.
Rubber versus glue. Well, yeah, and stick v. stone, which is still being litigated.
That's never ending. But needless to say, so you're on a new show, huh? Pen versus sword, mightier, which is mightier, who knows?
It's still being debated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Black Doves with Keira Knightley.
Dove?
It's a good little Black Doves.
Doves, okay.
Yeah, it's a spy thriller. If you like a good British spy thriller, then you're going to love
it. I do love a British spy thriller, truly.
Hand in hand, right? We love that.
What a wheelhouse. I don't know what I like more, British spy thriller or a heist movie where you see both sides of the heist.
I very specific. The behind the scenes heist.
You know what?
Are you talking about Ocean's 11? Come on.
I'm talking more about the bank job, okay? Bank job.
The bank job.
It's a Statham vehicle, okay? It's very good. But what Oceans has going for it, and then we'll get back to
Oceans.
Your show. What Oceans has going for it is when they tell you the plan, and as they're telling you the plan, you see the plan happen.
Of course, yes. Visual learning.
I don't know if there's a better montage in all of media. Anyway, Gavin.
Wow, so you were just giving some heavy praise there for Ocean's 11, right?
I'm lukewarm.
You're just talking about the great style, the
scene.
Great approach,
yeah,
right?
The montage.
Everyone loves that. Yeah, so it's just, Keira Knightley's a secret agent, but she's not working for a government. She's working for, like, a private firm.
Uh-huh.
It's very interesting. There's a lot of moving parts. I can't really say much of that. Like,
does she go into the cold and like,
no,
she's
married to the
notice?
British. She's married to the defense minister, so she's feeding secrets, and she's picking up stuff all these little things. So it's very fun. It's about 6 episodes. We're hooked. I only watched 3, and I said, it's similar to, like, I just most recently watched The Perfect Couple, too, with Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
And this time I said, no, I'm not going to stay up till 2 binge watching this on a school night.
That's very helpful and healthy.
Save it. Bank it. We'll come back. You'll be okay.
Like, I would have loved for you to show up to this taping very tired.
You're just like, I just had to stay up watching. It's like, no. We're better than that.
I love being riveted. I love using only the edge of my seat.
And it's not go, go, go. It's not like in your face as much. It's very subtle.
Yeah, it's
so
British.
It's very British.
It's British. British. Which they do it the best. Tinker Tailors.
Oh, okay.
I love Tinker Tailor. Soldier Spy, even.
Soldier Spy.
Some might say.
Soldier Spy. We love a John Le Carre.
Le Carre, yeah. I love those books. Spy Who Came In From the Cold, another good book.
Did they remake that? I know there's an old version of that movie.
I think they may have remade it.
There's some other ones that they've done.
I just assume Gary Oldman is in it. You know, Gary Oldman. I love Gary Oldman.
Yeah. there's some good stuff out there. I can't do any reality TV. I just don't care.
It's really rough.
I just really can't.
I watched, we need Mayon Schechter to talk about this. I watched only the final episode of Love is Blind. This most recent season, I only watched the reunion episode. Caitlin was watching it. They're all sociopaths.
Why do I need to watch that?
It's very strange. I didn't understand what I was looking at. I was like, it was truly, for a reality TV show, I missed so many seasons, I didn't know what was going on.
How do they fall in love without seeing somebody?
They want to be on TV is very important.
That's a critical factor.
Yeah, they really want to be on television.
Such a gimmick, and now they have so many spinoffs in different countries. I mean, that's exciting.
It's odd.
I will add a little asterisk to that. I will say I can only watch like European reality TV.
Okay.
I would like to watch British, Irish people, Australians do it. Like,
For the accent.
That they're just and their mannerisms are a little bit better.
We can throw South Africans in there. South Africans are psychos.
Oh, the Kiwis. Just for that, just so I could, like, you know, mock them the whole time or mimic their voices, I should say. Otherwise, American reality TV just bores me.
It is. It's,
I can just watch the
Brits.
That on, yeah,
the Brits. They got this is a really pro Brit wind down here. They got the spy thrillers.
Yeah.
They got the late night television.
Oh yeah.
And they got the reality TV. They're so good. I mean,
but they don't have an empire anymore.
They don't have local podcasts. Okay. The Sun.
They got the BBC.
The Sun does set on these people. The Sun is setting on this episode. Gavin, hit the outro. So I got to go work on EconBot. He's not.
What was up with that?
I dropped a pepperoni pizza in him earlier.
Do we have to pay them? I thought they're just AI bots. They don't have feelings.
No, it's real. He lives in my basement. I thought he ate pepperoni pizza, but he doesn't. Anyway, Gavin, say goodbye.
So long. Farewell. Avita Zane. Good night. Thanks, as always, for listening to the pod, guys. We love hearing from you guys. So give us a shout at 803-563-7169. And you can always leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you don't want to give us a call, we are fine with that as well. You can stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers or donate. We're in our pledge drive right now. Go to scetv.org to donate, or 800-256-8535. That's another great phone number for you to know. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Yeah, just had some loose stew. Got a handful.
Your boy's doing some loose stew again.
Is this anyone's?
Had a puddle of stew.
Is this anyone's?
That's a good band name. Puddle of Stew.